Finance Committee being held September 18th at 7:15 p.m., Town Hall and Zoom. So I will start out with the second item on the agenda after we have been called to order, which is public participation. And I see Mr. Warsh out there as usual. I don't know if Jim has any public comments.
Nope, not at this time.
All right, thank you, sir. I don't see anybody here other than Ashley's daughter. I don't know if she has any public comments. Nope, no comments from that member of the public. So we can then go on to our third item on the agenda, which is the approval of the minutes that are for all of our special meetings related to referenda since July 2nd. So let's just do each one separately because it gets too confusing otherwise. So I'll ask if you want to guys want to start with July 2nd, 2025 special meeting minutes. They are in your package.
Mr. Chairman, move the adoption of the minutes as presented.
I'll second.
Okay, motion made by Bob Morris, seconded by Rhea Klein. And I was just realized I was neglecting my business when I started the meeting. So let me just go back and make sure I just identify the members present. Members present are Rhea Klein from Board of Ed, Ashley Phelan from Board of Ed, Amanda Gordon from Board of Selectmen, Robert Mora from Board of Selectmen, Tyler Egner, member at large, and Ross Alley, member at large, and chair, who is a non-voting member. And I think that's covered. And other than that, we have present our first selectman, Rodney Fournier, who is on Zoom, Jill Collins, our chief financial officer for the town of Bolton, and also our superintendent of schools, David Caruso. So, again, sorry that I didn't take care of that up front. So let's go on to the again to any discussion on our July 2nd meeting minutes. So this was the meeting where we decided not to do anything until the next meeting. So I don't think we really discussed anything substantive, and it was a pretty short meeting, if I recall correctly. Yep. So we have a motion on the table. Is there any further discussion? Then, seeing none, I'll ask for a vote. All those in favor of the minutes as is, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, abstentions, then it passes by, motion passes by all voting members present. So go on to approval of the July 23rd, 2025 special meeting minutes.
Mr. Chairman, I move the adoption of the minutes as presented.
So do I have a second?
I second.
So, a motion made by Robert Morris, seconded by Rhea Klein. Discussion. Because this is the one where we went and corrected the dollar amount.
Yeah, and the decimal point and
Yep. And then I think we did get that additional revenue there, the 108,532.
can I chime in, Ross?
Sure.
So I don't know about you, but I got a lot of questions about the minutes from these meetings, from this meeting in particular, and indicating that, it wasn't quite clear to them how the error in the miscalculation of the mill rate occurred. right? And I think, you know, I was told by multiple people that they were referred to you for clarification. So I didn't know if we wanted to make any changes to these minutes to make it clear to potentially other public who may come and look at them.
So what would you suggest for this?
Again, I mean, you know, and I think Jill is on this call, I think,
yep,
if I,
Jill
but,
is
you know,
on.
You know, this is a, it's a very passive statement in that it says an error was made and a liability was not included. It, you know, I do think it should read that it was miscalculated by Jill and that the liability, because the liability wasn't open, as this is a different, this is a thing that we don't usually have to do when calculating the mill rate. I don't know. It's,
well, the liability was that money that people had not gotten in tax, you know, overpayments.
Correct. And I mean, just to say that the reason that there was a miscalculation is that is not something that's usually taken into consideration, maybe when calculating a mill rate. But people were very confused as to like who miscalculated. People thought like that we as the Board of Finance miscalculated it. They were confused as to how it happened. So, I mean, it's a really good brief summary, I guess, of, you know,
yeah,
what
and I
happened.
Think
but it,
yeah, the way you said it is more of what I spoke with, you know, spoke to with people, is just basically that, you know, CFO made a mistake in it because this was a calculation that we don't usually do involving that money that people hadn't been reimbursed for, but were being given as tax credits. And that's really what it, you know, comes down to. And that this was, you know, acknowledgement of that, and we're, you know, correcting it. And that result, unfortunately, was that the mill rate, the projected mill rate went up instead of going down after we, you know, removed money.
There were lots of questions about why the mill rate went up. So I do feel like the minutes of this meeting are in particular rather important, just so that people don't accuse us of trying to hide things in the future, right? And just trying to be as transparent as possible.
No, I agree, because what you said is what I said to people, and that, you know, there's just basically we weren't hiding anything. It's just as a mistake because it was a situation that we typically don't deal with. So I don't know what other folks want to say about that, because I would agree with you, you know, Amanda, that that's tip, you know, I did talk to like a half dozen people or so about it. So do we want to move that there be certain wording put in, or that there's a discussion about this? How do we want to approach this?
Is there a tape of the discussion, a recording?
Yeah.
Maybe we should go through the recording to see if there's any clarity, you know.
No.
Clarity.
If you want to do that, we would have to go and postpone discussion on this to the next meeting so that there's an opportunity to go back over that. But I think that the nitty gritty of it is what Amanda and I were just, you know, discussing.
We could clarify and say that there was a calculation error, but it was, you know, done, you know, late in the night that night, and upon final review, as materials were being printed and sent to the town, that's when it was identified. So I think that is what transpired.
Yeah. So yeah.
That would be acceptable to the maker of the motion, I accept.
So Mary, do you need that repeated, or?
You think that's adequate, Amanda? Do you think that's better clarifying?
I mean, I don't think it was a miscalculation that night. It was a miscalculation for all the previous referendums, right?
Oh, fair.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, it was.
I was thinking it was that night when we did the.
Yeah, it was consistent.
Oh no, this was the.
Yeah, you're right. You're right.
Yeah, it was a consistent error up until this night when, you know, when it was discovered before this meeting. Jill found the error in her calculations, talked it over with me, and then she brought it forward with, you know, this commission committee.
So, I mean, I guess the first sentence, right? It says the previous mill rate calculation of 31.91 for this proposed budget was miscalculated by the Director of Finance because it didn't properly account for the liability from people who chose to have their tax refund applied to their taxes. This is, and I would just add a sentence that says, this is a calculation that is not normally included in the calculation of the mill rate and was a result of the tax issues from the prior fiscal year.
Got that, Mary, or do you need it repeated?
I will listen to the audio when it becomes available.
Thanks, because if I had to repeat it, I don't
Yeah.
think I
Who
could.
wouldn't? So does
I think
that,
that's the best.
okay, folks
Yeah.
agreeing with Amanda's wording?
Then I'll withdraw my motion. Let somebody else make a motion. Because I'm not going to go along with that.
What didn't you like about that?
Well, it's said and done. I mean, there was a calculation and from the finance office, and that's what it was.
Yeah, but it doesn't say that. It says there was an error.
I know. I mean, and that's what the motion should say.
Yeah.
You want to single out the
Correct. Yeah. The minutes are accurate in that it calls out that there was an error,
yes.
but how lengthy do we need to?
The calculation was from the finance department, whether it be the director or whoever was there to putting it together.
The questions
That's
that
what it,
I've received from the,
that's
sorry, I thought you were done. I was going to say the questions that I've received from the public are the how and the why, right?
yeah.
Which this does not get at. So while they are accurate, it's leaving questions to the public. And so that was what I was trying to correct. But if folks want to leave them as it is, that's.
So that
No,
you,
I don't concur. I
well,
don't disagree with what you were saying.
so then I think there's a good point too, because if this is what the discussion was, we can't really change what we said, but
Right.
we can add a clarifying note to it, to the effects of what you said, Amanda.
Okay.
And just make the con, you know, to record in the minutes that we had questions from people. And that, you know, and that we need to, you know, clarify the discussion to say this, but it doesn't necessarily mean we have to change the minutes. Does that work? Because I mean, it's like it gets done what you want, which is we will record in this discussion that there was confusion from how we discussed this, and that the best way to clear it up was to just say what you said, Amanda. But you know, as a side note, sidebar conversation to cl for clarity, as opposed to making this say something which I heard Bob Morris say that we didn't really say.
Well, what I'm saying is it's proper for us to include this in our discussion and part of our minutes as a clarification,
Yeah.
which we didn't make
At the
at the
time.
time. So that's what I'm saying is, you know, this is the issue. It should be a part of this meeting, which it is.
Okay.
We've
Yeah.
already put it forward, not
Yeah,
a
I mean,
part of our
I'm fine
minutes.
with that. I will say that I think that Jill was fairly transparent at the last at the
Yeah.
meeting, and so I do feel like what I stated reflects what would be in the recording,
Yeah.
but I'm happy to just leave it in tonight's minutes if that's.
Okay. Then we can go forward with the motion as my original motion and to approve the minutes as presented. And
Just
any additional discussion on it, it'll be a part of tonight's meeting.
and making sure that in the just, you know, that the notes about our discussion included what Amanda, you know,
Very
said.
much so.
So we're accepting the minutes as is with clarifying comments from Amanda that will be included in tonight's minutes.
That works.
Does that work for you, Amanda? Okay. So then the motion made, seconded, no further discussion. Then all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, abstentions. Then the motion passes unanimously by all voting members present. Let's go on to the minutes for July 30. Tyler, why don't you make a motion? I was getting tired.
Me too.
I'll make a motion to accept the minutes as presented.
for the July 30th.
July 30, 2025 meeting.
I'll second.
And motion made by Tyler Eggner, seconded by Ashley Phelan. I'm out of practice. We haven't done this for a month. So discussion. This is a little longer meeting.
Just a comment. When I read it, I thought it really presented what we said without excess wording.
Editing.
So I think that the issue was there's a mistake here because the thing it says the RLE said the referendum passed, it failed by 12 votes because we went on to another.
That's true, yeah.
So that's what that's the change in that first one, because I wish it had passed and then we would have been done wearing my hat as the registrar. But that should say there in two ongoing business discussion on revenues and expenditures for FY 2025 to 26. R. Lowry said the referendum failed by a margin of 12 votes. Like the dollar amounts are correct. Yeah. Is there any further discussion on the minutes for the July 30 special meeting? Amanda, you look like you're thinking. Just wanted to make sure I did call for a vote if you had more to say. So then I'll ask, since there's no further discussion, I'll ask for a vote. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Tyler, did you? I, yes, okay. So then that was everybody who was a voting member voted yes, so there are no abstentions and no nays. So motion passes unanimously by all voting members present. Then we can go on to our special meeting minutes for Wednesday, August 13th. And with these, close out our discussion on last year.
I'll move the adoption as presented, Mr. Chairman.
Do I have
nice and short and sweet.
Second
motion made by Robert Morris, seconded by Ashley Phelan. Discussion, if any, because I think this is another short meeting. Since we didn't have to act on most of the stuff that was on the agenda.
10-minute meeting.
And let's just set the mill rate and get out of Dodge. Any further discussion? And seeing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions? So motion passes by all voting members present. And we can go on to this year. Leave last year behind, so we can start off with a Board of Education update.
Sure. So I'll kick it off and then I'll
Do you
hand it
want
over
the,
to
if
Dave.
Jill could bring it up on the screen?
Sure, that'd be
Your,
great.
Jill, are you able to share the Board of Ed's documents? Which one do you want? You just want to do the 2025?
We'll start with the 20, just to close out 2025 first.
Well, there's 2024 and 2025, so.
But we need to bring up 2024.
So let's skip 2024 then, and we'll start with 2025 to close that out.
I guess as a matter of business, I've never understood why we've included. Is the prior year in there just for reference?
I have no idea.
Okay.
It's just something that's always been done. I don't know.
Way back when somebody said
Yeah.
just for historical data, this.
Do people want to continue to see that in the package going forward? Just to have the, I mean, we never cover it.
I think it's good to have the document just in
Okay.
case there's a question. I don't
Nobody can
think you need
see.
to go and discuss it, because I'm going to be asking Jill some similar stuff tonight. I already went over with her regarding interest rates and so
Sure.
forth, where we need to look at last year to compare to this year, because we don't have one report that does
Okay.
both. Jill, are you there? Jill?
I can pull it
Yes,
up.
I'm here.
I didn't know if you wanted, you're able to share the report commentary for 2025 for the Board of Ed, or Ashley said she
I can
could.
do it. Yeah.
Ashley will do it.
So where, which one? I'm sorry.
Ashley's going to do it.
Oh, okay.
We'll save you the trouble. Assuming it was included online. And assuming it's not 90 degrees at all.
There you go.
There
Okay,
you go.
okay. So the finance committee for the Board of Ed met last week before our Board of Ed meeting. Short and sweet, I'd say we closed out the year. If you go to actually spot on the next page. We closed out the year 96% expended, and that was pretty comparable to 95% last year. And if you recall, we did have a few commitments that went towards the FY26 budget. So the 150,000 that was committed in April of 25. And then as we went further on in the budget cycle, we had another 250,000 that was committed to the FY26 budget. So all that being said, that leaves us with a remaining unexpended balance of 236,297, which will be applied towards this year. So that is the amount the Board of Ed will commit to the town.
It's a sur basically
The
goes into
surplus.
our surplus
Fund.
to reduce taxes for next year, which is actually 27.
That's the non-committed that was previously committed.
Correct. That's right. And I think that will likely be fully almost eaten up probably based on our next discussion further on. But yeah.
Thanks.
So that's probably the only noteworthy item in closing out the prior year. We had a few transfers, nothing significant.
Have anything, any questions for Ashley or David? And I guess we could move on to the current year, which is just starting.
Pull that up.
So to start the school year, nothing terribly surprising yet. The first few weeks of the school year, as you know, I know it's a conversation all the time about special education, and that's a variable that's out of our control that can change at any minute. But right now, things are holding pretty steady. Don't know yet about increases, decreases in the cost of energy, tuition, transportation rates. Our transportation contract is up this year, so we'll be negotiate a new transportation contract for next year.
When does that
It
expire?
expires at the end of the school year.
Okay.
Yeah. So we've already had discussions, early discussions with our current provider. They would like to put a competitive bid on the table prior to going to bid to see if we can do an extension. I think that's been done in the past, so we'll take a look at that. And no significant payroll changes to date. We have currently one.
Before we move off that, so if it expires at the end of the year, you may have an answer before the end of the fiscal school year or after.
We should have an answer before the end of the fiscal school year.
Because I was hoping that before the end of the fiscal year or the school year, so whatever, goes into influence the budget at the time.
Yes, we should have that information.
Okay.
I would
Even if
anticipate
it's
that.
not ready for the first blush of this thing, and the budget in May, the beginning of May, at least if there's something, while the process is ongoing with
I would
the.
anticipate that.
Okay.
Yeah. And then currently for payroll changes, we don't have any. We currently have one vacant position at Bolton Center School that that is posted, and we're accepting applications right now, but that's currently vacated.
Teaching position.
Teaching position, computer teacher.
So this, I think we're just budgeting full projection at this point.
I just wanted to, and maybe I did this last meeting, I'm forgetting, but I wanted to confirm if the Board of Ed voted to eliminate those two positions, the admin position and the para position at BCS, as a result of the budget cuts.
That's correct.
And do you know where the 30,000, right, came from? There was an
Yeah.
additional 30,000 that we cut as the finance committee. So do you know where you guys implemented that, or if that decision has been
It
made
came
yet?
from various areas that we were able to absorb in different line items.
Okay, thank you.
So not one single line
Correct.
item, and it's probably not worth going into
Yeah.
because it's probably $1,000 here and there or
Yeah,
stuff like that.
piecemeal together both times.
But it's I'm glad you brought that up, Amanda, especially about the two positions that were eliminated, because that's feedback that we got that we weren't concrete in cases of where the cuts were made, particularly with the Board of Ed. So I think it's a good thing, as we said, just to reiterate that for the record. Anything else for Board of Ed questions? Again, it's still early. Still early in the year. I think we'll have some more questions when we get into the revenue part of this with the tax collection summary and the town update. So, Jill, if you want to talk us through the tax collector stuff, because I don't see Mr. Rupert here and Rodney and whoever else our Board of Selectmen, please feel free to chime in.
Jim Rupert is on Birch Mountain. There's a pole that fell, and he's trying to
Oh, yes, I got
facilitate.
the alert.
He's trying to facilitate that.
Actually, it's Box Mountain.
Box Mountain.
Oh, is that what it is? Box Mountain?
Box Mountain.
It's Box.
Okay. I didn't read that very well, did I?
Well,
Jill, you got anything you want to add to that town report?
so do you want me to bring it up, the tax?
Yeah, if
Okay.
you could, we might as well go through the tax collection summary because it's going to influence the way the amount of taxes we're collecting and when are going to be influencing our interest and interest on the general fund. So it would be good to get this background so when we start talking about our interest and how much we're not going to get, it will be more understandable.
Okay, so this is June's collection, which basically we already pretty much knew about. We had that discussion at the end of, well, actually, probably in August, where we were at. So this is unaudited revenues for taxes for last year, last fiscal year. Any questions? So this was July's. Obviously, we didn't collect anything. I moved the money that did not go back to
residents into received tax collection, and we received a little prior year in interest for July. And then in August, we started receiving, and this is where we're at as of August, the end of August. I don't know if there's any questions.
Yeah, motor vehicles zero, no supplemental at the time, and personal property we didn't send the bills out for yet, correct?
Correct. Well, I believe they're out now, but they're not due yet.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Same thing with motor vehicles.
Mm-hmm. Correct.
No, the bills did not go out yet.
Oh, they didn't? I'm sorry.
No, they're close, though. Very okay. Close.
So then just make sure the record shows that the bills for personal property and motor vehicles did not go out yet. And that also the supplemental tax,
that's
property
correct.
Tax.
Correct.
Okay.
Correct.
Does anybody know? Oh, sorry.
Go on.
Does anybody know if the Board of Assessment Appeals met?
I believe it did because Mary left the registrar's office, Mary Turcoon, and she's on the Board of Assessment Appeals, and she went to the meeting. So I believe that they did meet.
Okay. So the reason I ask, right, is because the bills, the bills for motor vehicle hadn't gone out yet.
September is motor vehicles.
Right. That's what they were talking about. The question was, did they have the information that the vehicle owners had the information they needed to make any appeals?
Because the bills hadn't gone out yet. I got questions about how am I supposed to appeal something when I don't know what the MSRP of my car is at because I haven't got my bill yet.
Right. You can thank the state of Connecticut for making that last minute and not providing the data readily available either. It's just...
Well, they would need two things. They would need our bill to make sure that it matched with the MSRP records.
Right. That was the only thing they could appeal. You can't obviously appeal the amount of the tax, just the MSRP on the car, but they didn't know what MSRP we had in the system without viewing their bill. And so I had found out prior that most 2023 Teslas had been the MSRP was wrong in the system. And so I had reached out to Kara proactively and gotten it fixed, but to ask and then get it fixed, but most people didn't know. So hopefully the Board of Assessment Appeals is going to meet again in case people have issues with their MSRP, not issues with it, but if their MSRP was listed wrong on their bill.
Yeah. So in some ways, this is a simpler appeal process because it's either the MSRP is correct or it isn't.
Whether it's a chunker.
And there's, yeah.
Or what?
And the rest doesn't matter.
Doesn't matter, unfortunately, but that's the way it is. Makes the job for the appeals board easier.
Okay. Move on, I guess, if there's no further questions about August. Here we go with the revenue.
This is the unaudited final revenues for last fiscal year.
So it looks like we got a tiny bit more than 100%. 0.04% more to be exact.
Sorry, can you pull that? I just wanted to know how the original budgeted revenue compared to our final revenue. Yeah, because we edited the revenue, right?
Yep. So what are you looking for?
Oh, okay, right there. So the 20, we changed it by just under $1 million. Okay. Mm-hmm. I just wanted to see that total. Thanks.
$758, there we go.
Any further questions on that one? Not seeing any in the room. So, do you want to do the 2026 revenue statement?
Are we going to August?
Yeah, looking at July or August?
Probably August.
So you have July 31st, August. Okay.
Oh, here we go. Martini.
Do you know, Jill, how this compares to, well, I guess we saw it on the tax statement, right? We're usually up closer to 100% on the current tax property, right, by this time. So that's where the difference.
I don't think we're at 100% by this time, no.
Okay. I was just, let me look at the tax. I'll scroll that back up to the tax document. So normally 831 of last year, we were at 100 and oh, but last year you can't use because of this tax issue.
Yeah.
So I would be interested.
Yeah.
We'd have to compare to the prior year.
You're in the 90s.
Okay. I just wanted somebody to compare the 83.75 to, but last year's are skewed. So.
Yep.
And you don't have revenues from personal property and motor vehicles. That's that
right.
That,
not
that
significant.
Will fill the majority of that gap.
Yeah.
So it looks like we're at 4 million, round numbers, 4,900,000 short in revenue.
Yeah. Still to be collected.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Well,
and most of it's still to be billed.
Yeah, still to be billed.
I think I didn't make that a note. It's still to be billed, not the people I haven't paid.
Yeah. Still to be billed and still to be collected. So we will get that money, most of it eventually, but it does, the shortfall now does have an effect on the amount of interest we're going to earn for the year. So let's go look at the education grants and such.
There's nothing.
Those monies come in later in the year?
Casal has to pull them down. She should be pulling them down monthly, but I haven't seen anything.
So then the shortfall on this is the whole amount because you haven't seen any month incrementals.
Well, just for the grants.
That's what I'm saying. When I'm looking at the state of Connecticut education grants, ideally you should have been getting information from CASAL that's like month by month. That's,
well, it should be pulled down, yes. And it hasn't, I haven't seen any money yet.
So when you say pulled down, you mean gotten from state.
She goes into the state and says how much she needs for the month for grant money.
Yeah.
And is this a process change, Joe, that
no,
you'd like?
No. It should be done every month because she's paying salaries out of the grants, but she's using general fund money in the meanwhile, which isn't always good since we're already at a deficit for the interest.
So the process shouldn't change. The process should be done is what I'm hearing.
Correct.
So that on a monthly basis, CASAL should be collecting this money because effectively she's taking it out of the general fund, which is a loan, and we lose the interest on it until it's replaced.
Correct.
So that's something that we do need to work on because we're going to be short of extra money this year. And the more that we can keep of interest-bearing funds in the general fund, the better for both the Board of Selectmen and the Board of Ed. Because I know this is something that you and I have discussed, Jill, so that's why I wanted to just bring it up here, because we haven't really, we didn't pass, we did not have action on that. And so effectively there's like a loan out of, you know, month over month from the general fund instead of just getting the money from the state.
Right.
Jill, can you do me a favor and send myself and Dave an email just with like a cadence of what you would like when from CASAL so we can kind of get this back on track from a reporting and collecting standpoint?
I don't know. She knows. Yes, I can send an email. Yes, I can do that.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah, you can, if you want, Jill, copy me on it too, please.
Is the money, Jill, is the money always available from the state at the time, every month? Is it? I always thought maybe it wasn't.
That's why I asked from a timing and cadence standpoint. I don't know when if the information becomes available, when.
If it's the beginning of the next month or whatever.
So when I was in the working for a Board of Education, we had till the 10th of every month to pull down the money we were going to use out of the grants. So, and I don't know if that's changed. I don't imagine it has changed to some degree. We still have to pull that money down if we're spending money out of those grants instead of using just the general fund money, especially because we're already in a deficit of $71,000. In interest.
So that would be a note in your letter to email to David and to Ashley, just to note it's your understanding that this has to be done by the 10th of each month.
No, yeah. I don't know if it still is that, but
that's what I said. It's your understanding, and it needs to be verified.
Yes.
Great. Thank you.
Yeah, it's just one of these things. The more specific we are, the better, because then if the information is specific, then it's either correct or it's incorrect. And if it's incorrect, we can have a discussion about it and make sure we have the same understanding of what the current process is, and then just make sure whatever's the actual current process is implemented. Because again, I'm just looking at it from the point of view of not placing blame, but we've got a shortfall that's collectively affecting both the Board of Ed and Board of Selectmen. So it behooves everybody to do their best to keep the revenue coming in.
So I would like to go a step further. And I mean, I'm not placing blame, but if the process is still the same and it is supposed to be drawn down by the 10th of the month, I would like an explanation as to why it hasn't been. You know, we are accountable again to the public for why things are not happening the way they should be happening. We budgeted this revenue. That's revenue we're not getting because money's been taken out of this account. And so we need to be able to explain why.
Yeah, I agree, Amanda. And that's exactly why.
Which is saying, I don't want it to be a blame game. I want it to be a simple explanation and assignment of responsibility. And then we can deal with it. Yep. Okay. So what's going on with the next one? Because I see a similar situation there when we look at, other grants. These are various areas. Are they just not when you just haven't gotten the money yet? What's going on with
what are you looking at, Ross?
Other grants. I'm looking actually, the other grants, it's the same situation. It looks like actual to date is zero in all of them except municipal transition grant. So is this a timing issue?
Those are not, that's all, the state gives it to us when they give it to us. I don't pull anything down. It's all when they give it to us.
Okay.
And when that comes in, I enter it immediately. So that's all we get so far.
It's okay, that's what I wanted to clarify.
Yep.
Just wanted to clarify what's going on.
Yeah, it is different. It is different. They, for the town's money that we get from the state, it's all, they push it. I don't pull anything.
Okay. So the one for the Board of Ed, the two grants we discussed, it's pull from the state. They won't do anything unless you request it. And on this one, it's no matter what we do, if I'm looking under other grants, the state gives when the state gives.
Correct.
Okay. Any further questions under other grants? If not, let's go to other town revenue.
That's all the revenue there is. And this is expenditures.
Yep. And then we're going to still talk about the interest as a separate item after the expenditures, correct?
Okay, correct. Yes.
Okay.
I know of, so 2025, this is unaudited what was expended for the town. And again, it's unaudited.
Do you have a sense, Jill, of how the 91.31% compares to previous years?
And no.
I think it would behoove both boards if we can identify some trends, like put out trend documents in terms of percent of budget spent over a 10-year period. I think with the Board of Ed in particular, the percent not spent has been decreasing over time. I'd like to see the trends for the Board of Selectmen as well.
Because yeah. Yeah, again, that's been questions from the public. Questions on 2025? I'm not seeing any here. Then let's go on to FY 2026, and this is through August 29th.
Right. The July, we didn't have a budget, so I was comparing it to nothing because we didn't have a budget. So that's why I just skipped July and moved on to August because we have budgeted numbers. It was just what we spent in July, but not percentages.
So the one that I'm just looking to see if any jump out at me. And what is this one? Land use. We're at 42.18% expensed versus 23.42%. There an explanation for that? Is
the only reason that is so much higher than the past years is because Patrice's contract is encumbered where it hasn't been in past years. That's why it's that much higher, because her contract along with two other contracts that they have are the other two contracts were already encumbered in past years, but Patrice's was not, and that's why it's so much higher.
So so something else got moved in there.
No, wasn't
there before.
No, right? Just we never encumbered Patrice's whole contract for the year. This so year basically, they did that.
Oh, you did the whole thing on that one.
That they did.
Okay. All right.
That department.
That's what that is. That's the whole. Yep. That's the whole
so
year.
That's the only reason. Yeah.
Okay.
Is that they encumbered the whole amount.
Got it. Got it.
Yep. Instead of, you know,
instead of for monthly. Month. Yeah. Yep.
Let's see what else.
Fire Commission.
Question from Tyler.
Fire Commission, right, two and a half versus 49 last year.
And that one's down. I was looking for the ones that went up, but no, still a good question because it's going to come back at some point, possibly. So the question on the fire commission is quite low compared to previous years at this time.
I don't have any good answers on that one.
I can suggest what it is. Generally, at the beginning of each fiscal year, once the taxes are collected, the amount that's the proficiency fund is the whole amount's transferred over. So, and that hadn't been done because we hadn't sent the bills out, and it was held
we don't
up
have
for
the tax money to give to actually hand the
exactly.
efficiency
so,
fund.
So it was held.
Money's over.
It was held back. Yeah.
Good catch, Tyler. Thank you for the exclamation, Mr. Moore.
No problem.
But still, the proficiency fund's only about 30 grand, and that wouldn't make up that big of a gap. Maybe to 25%. No, not even.
Yeah. Well, that's one item. I mean, I'm not sure what.
Might be the retirement one, too.
Oh, you're right. That would be both. You're right. Yep, that's the other one.
So fire, so retirement fund and
proficiency. Yeah.
So again, we're waiting to have money to fund them to hand them over.
Yeah, now, yeah, now it's there. So the next month should things should get one more.
And that's something that's typically done at the beginning of the fiscal year. So it's sort of it's front loaded.
All right.
Okay. Then the other ones, highways and streets is up. Yeah, it's up a bit to the last 2 years, but similar to 3 years ago. So that one looks like it fluctuates based on what happens to be going on in the order that you decide to work on things.
Right.
What about like different, like if there's like matches on the grants, if we have those in certain years, that can also, you know, cause irregularity.
And any other questions on expenses so far this year? Not seeing any, then we can just keep going along. Let's go on to we have month end balances and general fund. And then interest reports. And this is where we've got a couple of them from last year and this year for comparison. Since we typically don't have them compared line by line, year by year. So if you're looking at what we had in July of last year versus this year, you'll see what is a little bit of a difference. $17 million for July and $5 million about for August.
Did we dip below the $5 million mark? In that account.
Jill, question from Tyler about, do you want to repeat it? I don't know if Jill heard it.
Did we dip below the 5 million mark where fees are incurred and we don't earn interest?
No, it's 5 million six.
Okay. That's enough.
And what was the number below which we don't earn it? I mean, below which we get charged fees. Was it 7 or 5?
Five.
Okay. So we didn't get charged. We didn't end up getting charged fees.
Correct.
Okay. Well, that's something.
So actually my question for that is just to clarify is it if the average balance for the month goes below 5 million or is it if you dip below 5 million anytime during the month?
Anytime.
So if we went just below for a day in the middle of July, we would not have gotten interest and would have been charged fees?
No, just you would have been charged for the days that you were below it.
Okay. So we would lose interest on those days and we would be charged fees prorated for the month by, I assume, the number of days in the month.
It's based on the average that day. Not days of the month, it's that day.
Daily average.
Yeah, but they still have to have some sort of a fee. And I don't know whether, you know, how they prorate it.
I don't know if it's based on how much below you are on 5 million, or I
Maybe
really
we
don't
need to
know.
have,
The contracting.
I think we might need to have the have our banking partners in again to talk to understand, because we're going to be affected by interest rate changes and by things like this, and it would be good to have them back perhaps to give an explanation.
A little bit more proactive too, ahead of
Yeah.
Yeah, and
fluctuation.
they have been pretty cooperative in meeting and
Yeah.
sharing with us what their projection what their projections are going down this fiscal year. So.
Could they could we arrange to have them come to our next meeting, your finance committee, in October?
I can ask. I can't promise you that they can make the meeting, but I can ask.
Yeah, let's ask.
Yeah, let's see.
Let them be the ones who say no, because
Right.
if we don't ask,
Yeah.
we won't have any discussion.
There you go.
Will they come at night, or would that have to be a meeting during the day?
No, they came at
They
night
came
last
at
time.
night the
They
last
will
time.
Zoom in.
Okay.
I don't think they'll come. They'll zoom in.
Zoom is fine.
Yeah, that's
We just
fine.
need to have them talk
Yep.
and answer questions.
But
And we can give them an idea of what we're going to be asking about in advance. Because I know, so Jeff, you want to let them know, it's like, how are the fees calculated if we're below, the 5 million balance, and what, how is the loss of interest calculated? Is it it's just for that day? And if so, I would imagine, do they go by the number of days in the month to prorate the amount of interest we lose? Questions like that.
you might also ask them what their anticipation is as far as what interest rate they'll be paying us. I don't know if that quarter point is going to
Yeah, what?
mean anything.
Yeah.
Where's the break point where they're going to have to,
Yeah, what's their reference? What's
right?
their reference interest rate that they're using? Because right
Exactly.
now we don't know, and I don't know if it's the Federal Reserve rate, or and if so, there's a bunch of Federal Reserve rates and
Right.
other rates. So which one is the one that they go by?
Yeah.
And how much does their change lag when the interest rate
Right.
changes?
Exactly. Last time when we first spoke with them, this goes initially, they were using, I forget what their base was, but it's one that was not reactionary. I mean, it really utilized a longer term view of the interest rate.
Yeah, because still they could be using 30-year treasury.
Right, exactly. I don't know.
I don't know.
Me
That's what I'm
neither.
saying, because depending on which one you ask, they respond to some of these baselines respond to Fed changes differently.
Yeah.
Like usually the longer term, the more abrupt the change is, and so
But
forth.
it gives this board the feel of, okay, where we're going to be interest wise.
And maybe we should, as a reminder, put the terms on the sheet too. If we could do that, Jill, it doesn't have to be immediate, but on the month-end
Oh, what the
balances,
interest rate is.
yeah, or the interest report, just a little cheat sheet to remind ourselves how the interest and what the
That's a good
parameters
idea.
are.
That was give the selectmen have that. The selectmen have the they voted on the structure. So
Correct. But if we could print it with
well,
the interest
yeah.
report, so when we have it in front of us, we
That's
stop
right. As
speculating
long as it's there.
on what becomes.
The point is that I don't have it. That was given to the selectmen, so it was given to them at
Rodney, make sure we can get that,
right,
okay?
yeah,
From
because we
them.
just need a summary of it. Like, for
Okay.
example,
Reach out, Joe. That would be great, please. Thank you.
yeah, because this is one of the things where the public, it'll help the public understand when we're talking about things about the interest rate. It will be right on this page, as opposed to they have to try to find this from selectmen's meeting minutes someplace.
Well, I think it's important for two reasons. One of them, just to back up what you're saying, is that they should understand the importance of what having that revenue coming in when it does
Yeah.
impacts their long-term mill rate. Because that when you're earning $500,000 or close to it every year in interest, that makes a difference.
Know, there's a cost to the savings that they thought that they were getting, because there's like a cost of $5,000 to $6,000 per referendum, and then there's this cost that didn't reduce the budget necessarily, but it reduced the revenue. And then that's going to have a budgetary impact on things that they may not have anticipated, because it's a further cut actually beyond what was, you know, what was adopted.
Right. Just unless important information to have. Yeah.
Yep. So let's go. Any questions, further questions on these? And thank you, Jill, for putting them together like this, because I know we just discussed this fairly recently, and I appreciate your doing this.
So are you, can I ask a question?
Sure.
So are we trying to get the percentage rate of interest listed like next to July, FY26, it would say 4.25%, or August would be?
It's always going to be 4%. That's the deal with the bank at the moment. It doesn't change at all.
Right.
Yeah, so on the very bottom, sure. On the very bottom of the sheet, just a few points that says, as a reminder, here are our contractual terms with the bank and the 4%.
4%. That's it. 4% interest.
And maybe the 5 million, you know, balance, how, when we start to incur fees, you know, those types of things. Okay. Very high level. Very
just nice. Like 3 or 4 bullet points, one line.
Yeah.
Because that way, if somebody's okay. going through this package, they can figure it out on their own without having to wait for us to discuss it like this.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I thought it was a pretty fixed rate and it doesn't get adjusted, but quarterly or whatever. So,
yeah. Well, it's fixed rate and we might know it because we're talking about it, but someone just looking at this, it's just like, what does somebody who doesn't deal with this stuff the way we do need to be able to understand it?
Got it.
Yeah. Anything else? Otherwise we can go on to our interest rates. Again, Jill was kind enough to put together a comparison for last year, you know, and this year. So if you eyeball it quickly, like we are down $16,000 over last year for interest for July, and then for August, you're close to $70,000 off. So then that gives you, like, you're rounding it up, you're about $90,000 short already for the
year.
No,
it's total of 71.
Where's the, what am I looking at?
It's a total, it's 26 versus 97.
Oh, okay. So yeah. This is, I'm sorry, this is cumulative. Sorry. Correct. So then we're $70,000 off.
Oh, there we go. Okay.
Yes.
Thank you for the correction.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So that's going to, so here's the question that I have, not knowing this, is how does that shortfall get apportioned? Because we're expecting a certain amount of revenue that was going to be divvied up between Board of Selectmen budget and Board of Ed. So is the shortfall divvied up the same percentage wise, you know, based on the relative size of each budget?
Good question.
So I'm looking at this $70,000. So then does roughly $22,000 go to the selectmen to deal with, and then the remainder going to the Board of Ed to deal with, you know, based on the relative sizes of the budgets? I'm just asking, I don't know.
Well, let's see, what did we projected?
What do we budget?
400,000, correct? Instead of the 5 the year before?
No, it was like 450 or higher, I think.
No, I don't think it was higher. No.
No?
What did you budget for this year?
Yeah.
360.
Yeah. Oh, 360, that's it?
I know it was very low.
We went that low?
Right. No, I'm sorry, 375.
Oh, okay. So then we're even with that 70, we're all right because we're below last year, right. But we're not below right. A projected 375.
Well, I wouldn't say you're all right because everything is lagging now. You still haven't gotten motor vehicle and your personal property is still out there too that hasn't been even billed yet.
So right. we lost interest on that money up front that's not going to be compounded for the months that we lost it. And then you're going to have an interest rate reduction. So
Yeah, that's true.
I start to get nervous.
Yeah.
Maybe
It's
we'll have an
higher.
interest rate reduction.
Maybe
Maybe.
it's a maybe, and then and it's it. I don't think it'd be immediate.
Yeah.
Whatever happens, it's I think it'd be further
Oh,
down the road. If it comes in, well, I say that if it comes in when we've expended 80% of our
That's got less of an
rent,
impact.
got less of an impact rather than now.
Yeah, but it's something to keep in
Well,
mind.
obviously we, yeah.
Yeah.
So
It's a,
we're
I'm
about
sorry, Amanda.
halfway through our cushion already, essentially. If we budgeted, if we got 522,000, we budgeted 375, it's about $150,000 difference. We're at 70,000 now. We're a little less than halfway through our cushion.
Yeah. So when we do, again, it's just something to keep an eye on. And then at some point, this is going to come out of somebody's budgets. And I just want to understand better what's the mechanism that, how that any shortfall's distributed.
Well, do you first look at the surplus
I
that's
don't
been
know.
earned? Yeah.
I just don't know how it's done. That's why I'm asking.
Mechanical.
Because, I mean, you can do it any number of ways that would probably meet generally accepted accounting practices for governments. And it's just then, which one are we using? So, again, I don't know. It's just a question that, for my ignorance and wanting to understand if this does
I'm
happen.
trying to
And
look to see if there's something in the accounting policy.
we can always ask our auditor.
I'm sorry, what was the question?
If we do have a shortfall in revenue, how is that shortfall apportioned between
Well,
Board of Ed and Board
you
of
have to
Selectmen?
freeze, well, you have to freeze budgets. And by law, we can't freeze the Board of Ed's budget. So the town budgets will get frozen for the revenue that we don't receive. We can't spend more than we receive. So the Board of Ed, by law, they can spend their whole budget. The town will take the hit. Unfortunately,
Well,
that's the way it is.
it's everything on the town side, but
Right.
that also includes capital, which,
Correct.
when you do capital purchases, you can delay a few months and carry over that purchase another year.
With some, but we
Yeah.
have those monthly payments for things that we can't.
Well, I understand that, but I'm just
Yep.
saying,
Yep.
you're trying to project something this early as how you would do it, and I think it's just too early to even think about that, because
I
if you know
agree.
you're going there, you can start planning now.
Yeah, and
I
that's
agree.
I'm just again I
It's
just
way too
want
early.
to some well no I just want to understand the mechanism in
Yeah.
advance of when you have to deal with it so that it's not a surprise. Not that we need to plan for it now so much as I just want to understand. And what you told me then, Jill, is
Yeah.
based on state law. The Board of Selectmen budget eats any shortfall.
Yep. The Board of Ed has been given their budget. There's nothing we can do now. So the town will have to take the hit. So if we
Well,
foresee projecting that there's going to be a shortfall in revenue, then we're going to have to start freezing budgets and only do essentials for the town.
okay, well, that's what I wanted to
Unfortunately.
understand
Yep.
so that
Yep.
we have it
Yep.
on the record that this is the mechanism that's used so that when this, if and when something should happen further on in the year, it's been discussed, it's on the record now, people know what the mechanism is, and there's going to be a bunch of new people on the Selectmen, Board of Selectmen, Board of Ed, and Finance Committee, and it would be good for them to have be aware of. We had this discussion, and so they can, whoever's left can go and help them understand, and it's on the public record. Amanda, you got your hand up?
Yeah, I mean, I do think like this isn't necessarily a conversation for this committee, but it gets again to the point that Ashley was making in policies, right? Like for the Board of Selectmen, should we be discussing, a policy in terms of what is considered an essential service if a budget is frozen versus what is not? Like all these conversations that you don't want to be having when it happens, you want to have them
Yeah.
Proactively. And so I don't know, Rodney, if you can just put that on the to-do list of policies we need, right? Like, or something to talk about. I think it behooves us to have that conversation.
it's better because it's one of these things, like I agree with you, Amanda, and that's what partly why I want to have this discussion now, because like you said, it's way better to have the plan and not need it than it is when you don't have the plan and you need it, and then it's done sort of ad hoc and in a panic.
Policy for income shortfall that the town has to consume.
That sounds like what you wanted, Amanda.
So you're talking relatively small shortfalls, but shortfalls.
Well, you hope.
Yeah, I mean, it's not necessarily. It could be for other reasons too, right? Like it could be
right.
An unexpected expense that leaves you with, like, that you have to, I don't know, some emergency or something, right? Like, you just want to be able to define your essential services and your non-essential services and figure so that it's not.
And then you know which ones, how to rack and stack them, and then you can do what's appropriate.
Or figure a way out to get money from other accounts that are put aside for other things.
Right, which is, but that. That also assumes that some are essential and some are not.
Well, that's correct. That's, yep. But, okay.
Yeah, it all comes down to we have to have some priorities for dealing with a shortfall.
Agreed. All right.
Anything else on interest in the town update? Anything under other?
I'd just like to bring up something that people have brought up before, and that's having two payments for taxes. It keeps coming up as an issue with, I've been talking to different people around Fulton, and they keep saying, and I said, you know, what's an issue for you? And they said, being able to pay the taxes twice in two batches. So I just thought I'd tell you.
Yep. And it actually is something that would probably have helped with dealing with what we're dealing with now, because you wouldn't be doing supplementals. You would just be sending another bill out that's been adjusted to take care of it. And it's one mailing that's planned for.
I know there's the interest and the bank. I know all that, but it is an issue. I know that when I was young, I had a condo in South Windsor. I was working, I had a real estate gig on the side, and somebody told me about just taking a lot of credits toward your deductions. So I claimed like 10 deductions. And then I took that money and I put it in the credit union. And so by the time I had to pay my taxes, I had all the money. And I didn't even, it was like automatic. I didn't, and it worked out quite well. So you could save ahead in monthly bits. Maybe, you know, I don't know. Maybe there could be a nice program for people, like, you know, when you went to school and brought in money for the
they included that now, finances in the school curriculum. Which grades, do you recall?
I don't know. It's in high school.
I thought it was high school. And I just thought it was a welcome change that they're having as part of the curriculum. I think it was state requirement.
One of the times, I'm sorry, Amanda's got her hand up. I don't want to jump in. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
I was just going to say two things, but now they've kind of flown the coop, unfortunately. One was that it would be helpful, Rodney, if you could ask Jill, Lori, and Jim to pull together a pros and cons list for the twice a year taxation to present to the Board of Selectmen. And the other one, I'll let Bobby go first while I try to remember what it was.
Oh, so my thought was, if you're gonna consider in doing it, and splitting it, you do it at a time when you, one of the things you, which we've already done, which is really, we dropped the amount of interest that we are projecting to utilize as an offset. Mm-hmm. I mean, if you were back using that $500,000 and you first thing you do is that's a huge, you probably cut that in half.
Yeah.
And
lose the compounding of interest.
Exactly, and all that. Now you have a small amount It's not easy, but it's
you have to plan for it.
Yeah,
you wind up with the same amount of revenue at the end of the year, but you have less interest on it because you lose the compounding on the on the 50% that's coming in later. You lost a half year of compounding of interest.
I remembered the other thing. Sorry. The other thing was that I believe Jill had asked and the bank had agreed to kind of do an analysis for us of the impact this would have on our interest, and I don't think that ever happened.
They didn't finish it because I can't project on the second half of what's going to happen. It's impossible, especially with situations like this year. You can't, it's not something you can project. And I just can't project it. I can't.
But can't you just take the grand list? Can't you just take the anticipated tax and divide it by two? I mean, yes, it's rough. It's an estimate, right? Nothing's going to be perfect. And obviously no one can prepare for the stuff that happened the last 2 years.
How do you do it when you don't even know the grand list or the mill rate for next year? I tried that. I tried cutting it in half and they wanted the other half. It's not that easy. It's just not.
But if you did if you did numbers for multiple years and you did it instead of like dollar values, percentages, and you could find trends, then you could potentially
it's the kind
estimate
of thing,
future.
Yeah, because it's the kind of thing that you'll never hit it right on, but you get a general idea of the type of change this will do to the interest rate.
And it'll be a one time. It's a one time hit because once you're into that process, your budget has then adopted to that and you go forward. Yeah, it's just a matter of, it really gets down to when do you want to take the bite? When do you want to take the
your
hit?
Adoption. Yeah.
Because it really says, okay, we can do this, but you're going to pay for it in a higher mill rate if you want to keep the same level of services for Board of Ed and Board of Selectmen. There's a cost, dollar cost to this, which is in revenue.
Right.
So if you want to keep everything, services where they were, both for school and selectmen, again, the mill rate goes up to cover the loss of interest. So is this worth it? Is this trade worth it to you?
Well, it's particularly, that is particularly that first year. Because once you bring everything up to that level, then...
Well, it's still worked into the budget, but it's an ongoing
process. Right, it's ongoing, yeah. Is that you this is forever... In your process of mill rate process,
There's it'll be over the it's always there. There's
always
a little level of extra mill rate because of this process that you wanted, and just folks need to be aware that there's a trade off with everything. You get the convenience, but you pay a little bit.
There's
more.
Something for it. There's a price for it.
It's just like when you want to pay your insurance for your car. If you want to pay it by the month, it adds up to more for the year than if you do a lump sum payment.
Exactly.
But some people can't afford the lump sum. So name your poison.
So the other difficulty in doing that is the expenses. There's a lot of big expenses that come due at certain times. And you may shell out $800,000 August 1st to pay the school bond or something. How do you work that through?
I will just say that when I was a project manager in IT, I did budgets of $35 million and more. And this was something I had to do on a regular basis working with my finance department. So I know it is something that you can do, and because I have done it, and you do it with the caveats that there are these qualifications for this. I'm making certain assumptions. This is a general picture. Depending on what happens, it may be more, it may be less, but likely this is what's going to happen. So I'm just telling you, I've done it. I know you can do it. And I've done it with larger budgets than this, and they have just as much unpredictability in them. And certain things are front loaded and, back end loaded. So I'm just saying, I've done it. I know we can do it. So it would be good for us to go and look and see if, how we can do this with the understanding it's not going to be 100%. It's going to give people a general idea of what the trade is.
I wonder if legally we could make a policy where if you elected that you wanted to pay it two times a year, you could do that. I mean, it's really relevant to people who don't have escrows.
Yeah.
So therefore you could keep the escrow payments coming in.
And then
in.
You'd have to work that into any calculation. You make certain mm-hmm. assumptions that half the people are going to want to pay it, you know, mm-hmm. one way and half another. You make certain.
I bet you at the end of the day, you probably wouldn't get as many people as you would expect.
Yeah.
That if would the bank didn't have to pay it all up front, they're holding the funnies. What the hell? They're not going to give it to you.
Correct.
They're going to hold it for the extra
so that,
6 months.
So that's yeah. why I would right. I would want to really just go after the people who
right.
you were really helping out here in town, exactly. which would be the... Yeah.
And most of the time for estimates like this, you make a 50-50 assumption and you're pretty close. You're not going to be really off for the purposes of what you want to do, or you can do a 20, you know, 25-75 and... depending on what you think is going to happen, and it works well enough for the sake of getting a general idea to discuss and for people to make trade-offs. So anything else under other? Thank you, Rhea, for bringing that up. So ongoing business communication. And I know that a lot of us are not going to be here. But by the same token, you know, for next year, because we have the elections coming up and there's going to be changes. But by the same token, the leadership positions in the town may be changing, but the feedback I keep hearing from the voters is not changing, particularly those who say no. And that they are still wondering about why aren't we holding people accountable for mistakes? The mistake in the grand list is particularly galling, and they are feeling they didn't see anyone being held accountable for it. They are still feeling that we are hiding money. They are still feeling that too much money goes to the Board of Ed. And there's just all the same stuff we've already discussed. It hasn't changed. And we're getting close to starting the new budget. I know the requests will be going out in another month or so for us to put together our department budgets and get them in by the end of the year, end of December. And I don't know that we're going to be able to convince all these people who say no, because they're pretty consistent in it. And I don't think anything would satisfy them other than that the dollar amount not adjusted for inflation that they pay never changes. And so I don't know how much one can convince those people who feel that way, so much as, can we get other people engaged in the process who don't come out to vote either yes or no, and, get them to understand, what goes on and get their input. Because all I keep hearing is, I don't want to pay more. And they don't have any ideas of what do you want to give up if you don't want to pay more. They think everything just keeps going the same way and miraculously they don't pay any more taxes. So
I think one of the things that is so important that people just think, if you're looking at your town and what you paid last year to this year, you have to look at all the towns around you. Where are they going to go? They have to understand that.
So how do we get them to have to understand it?
Well, you could keep providing the information as simply as possible. And I've been going around talking to people, actually. And I'll say, is there anything that you'd like to, express about your concerns about the town? A lot of people are saying, I like it here. The taxes are high, but they're high everywhere. It's a beautiful town. And it's worth something to live in it. Like, even I have a neighbor who said, I'll pay my taxes. I like living here. So I just think that we have to get the people that are happy but don't go out and vote.
Yeah, and again, that's the question is, just like the people who say, I don't want this to be, I want my taxes to drop. I want my taxes. Like, what does that entail? What are you willing to give up? And for when you say what you did, how do you want to make it happen? How do you get these people to vote? How do you get their interest? And then there's the other folks I forgot to mention, too. They said they want to see a change in the way we do things between the Board of Ed and the Board of Selectmen. They want to see efficiencies again. I don't know what that means. It's just something. So again, it's like, how do you get that in to make that real what they're looking for? And then what of that is actually practical to do? And what's the time frame? Again, I don't have the answers. I'm just saying is that if we keep saying, they're saying we have to lower the budget or we have to do this, but they're not saying how. And we're saying, well, they have to do this, that, and the other thing, but how do you get them to do it? Well, how are we going to motivate them? And that's what I see as the real challenge is making our plans real and making those plans visible to people and getting their input for it. So again, I can't do it magically.
It's almost like you have to canvass like it's an election. You know, go out and encourage people to, you know, it's really important to vote. Here's a little piece of warrant hanger. You know, if you have questions, please come to the meetings. But it's very important. We're wasting money every time we have a rally.
I see a head shaking out of the corner of my eye over here.
No,
Mr.
No, I don't disagree with anything you're saying. I just want to add one of the comments that I've had year after year after year after year. When you say, okay, what's the limit? They say, well, I don't want an increase. Okay, so we just vote down the budget. How are we going to do it? The response is, that's your problem. That's why we voted for you. You deal with it. It's not my problem. I don't want to pay more. Okay. And I hate to say it, but there's a significant portion of that no is in that category.
Mm-hmm.
And that, you know, If you go forward with a zero or close to zero mill increase, well, you've basically wiped out at least half of that, if not more. You're not going to have a budget issue. But when you deal with the complexity we had with the reval,
mm-hmm.
and that brought mill rates, not on the real, but property values up, not all the same. That was the issue. Some were here, some were here, some were down here.
Mm-hmm.
So the disparity on top of everything else, taxes went up just because the value of your property went up.
Mm-hmm.
And I think one of the things that this commission, it at least won't have to deal with a revaluation issue.
Yeah.
You know what your base is, and it's going to make, and so does everyone else. So you're working off of that base. It might make it somewhat easier. And how do you get to those? I wish I could answer that question. And I've been pondering that question for over 30 years. I still don't have an answer other than what we discuss here. You give as much information as you can. And you know, the other thing is, you're in a town where your vote really matters.
Mm-hmm.
And if you have a lot of people move into town from a larger community where
it doesn't
matter. One vote, right? What the hell, one vote here, one vote, look at six votes or whatever, it makes a huge difference. And try and get that instilled into people's minds. It's probably all elected officials' job to do that in one manner or another, but, That's a key factor. Once people, I think the more people understand that they're a part of the process, I think these initial referendums are going to be a lot closer.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I think the other thing that we need to communicate to folks is there's an extra challenge that we are making a budget are going to face is that we're not going to get that $750,000 from the state motor vehicles, rebate of, you know, tax revenue because our mill rate is below the cap for automobiles.
Yep.
We are not going to have as big a surplus because the Board of Selectmen gave up their surplus at the end of the last fiscal year to help bring an end to the referendum. So we're only going to have the surplus from the Board of Ed. Plus we're going to have lower interest rate, you know, interest revenue
by the interest.
So there's going to be a lot less to work with, you know, next year.
Yeah.
And I think that's a message that's really critical to get out. and explain to people that, you know, that's going to affect the factor. Your mill rate is not going to be able to be reduced substantially without gutting, you know, something from the Board of Education's budget, you know, or from the Board of Selectmen. And I think with the
I'm not happy note.
I'm just saying
No.
Just saying it's because
that's reality.
It's the reality because the Board of Ed's budget only went up what, 1% and change?
1.6%.
And if we hold the Board of Ed to a 0% increase, then basically the selectmen didn't increase their budget much at all either.
Right.
So any further cuts will come out of the Board of Selectmen, mm-hmm. and that's all the other town services other than education, but mm-hmm. some of those also support education. Mm-hmm. And you don't want to screw education either, because that's also an attraction that brings people to town and brings, you know, tax revenues with them. So again, I don't know. I just want to get it on the record that, you know, we have this conversation and we don't have much runway left before we're into the budget. And don't really have, you know, concrete input. So anyway, that's it for me. Unless
everybody go on buy a new car.
Yeah, go buy a new car. That's why I spent some money. Down,
buy a car.
Spend some money fixing mine up.
I've seen a lot of Hummers and everything going around. Hopefully those are newer ones.
I put a couple $2,000 into my Subaru because I don't want to pay the taxes on a new car. So anyway, let's go on to, we have the financial statements. Jill, if you want to tell us about that.
I have nothing to tell, just that you have received them. I have nothing to really tell you about.
So I think we should put it on our agenda for next month to discuss them. So I would just ask folks to please
look them over.
Well, discussing them, you should make an appointment with or ask the auditor if you have questions. It is in his contract that he will come to a meeting and answer any questions. The questions are from him.
Correct, which I want to make sure that we have questions and we discuss which ones we want to present to him, to your point.
Bring them up. Yeah.
Yeah, of course.
So that we're in agreement with what, you know, we want to ask him, so we don't get him on a Zoom call or whatever and then waste his time while we're deciding what to ask or
right,
not.
Exactly.
I can ask him, maybe in his trips down, he may be able to come in personally if given enough time.
That'd be great to get a schedule.
Personally.
Yeah,
good idea.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah. So if we get questions to him in enough time, we can arrange it with him to meet when we meet. I can talk to him about that.
And what's our last meeting? Is we don't meet in December, do we?
Yes, we meet. No, we don't meet in July and November. August. Those are the only months we don't meet.
So I'm sorry, with July and August?
July and August are the only months we don't meet regularly.
Okay, well, I wouldn't want to do this past November because no one's going to be around in January and December. It's like the Bermuda Triangle after you get to Thanksgiving. Nothing happens until the second or so week of January anywhere.
Yeah, November would be. Is the transit board transition? Is it December 1st?
I thought it was January. Because I got sworn in for registrar in January. I got sworn in for this new
with
thing.
The elections?
January.
The Board of Selectmen is I think it's December 1st.
Right.
And I think the Board of Ed's December.
I think it was earlier.
I think you're right, Bobby. Once you, the election, the following month is.
Yeah. The following month. So it'd be December 1st. Everybody gets sworn in for that point. So the board will still be functional in November with us.
I can talk to the auditor and see. He's going to be down next month, the week before our meeting, I believe. But I can ask him. He might be down for East Hampton, or Hampton, I should say. He might be down for Hampton the week that we meet in October. I'll contact him tomorrow and see if he can make our October meeting.
You ever talk to a screen or a body?
Yes. If he's, if he can't do that, then November meeting would be fine. It would give us more chance to get stuff. Or do you want to just have questions sent to you, Jill, to provide to him?
We can do that, but I think that November we're going to have different board structure, right? So
no, December you will.
Okay. All right, because it's going to be, yep.
Yeah, you're stuck with
shortly
us
thereafter.
Yeah, no. So that's what I'm saying. It would be good to get the questions to him, have the discussion in November, so we have some stuff to hand off to the new board.
I can give him the questions.
So that's a takeaway.
I can definitely give him the questions and see if he can attend the November meeting.
Okay.
Something else. Well, we're on number seven, right?
Yeah, we're on number seven.
Then I'll move, we adjourn.
Do I have a second on that? Then still, are you supposed to vote on adjournment or does it just go?
I don't know.
We vote on adjournment.
Yeah, let's vote on it. It's safer. All those in favor? Okay, we're adjourned at 8:51. Thank you, everyone.
Good night.
Good night, all.